Good morning, Westside. You know, the look at you, you know, it just brings up emotions in my heart because you are all an answer to prayer. We've been praying for all you. We've been praying for this church. The church is getting bigger and bigger, and the Lord has just been opening up doors for us for a third service on the Granville Island. Let me share something about myself. Thursday morning, first of all, I sent a letter out and I asked for people to pray for me. I had it all prepared, a sermon. I'm in my mind. I know exactly where I was going, so I thought. And this is how the Lord always works with me. So I thought where I was going to go. Thursday morning, as I usually do, I get up, I have my meal. I have a special little chair in the corner there, and I go there with my coffee to go and pray. The Lord allowed me, and that specific morning, and I know it's because of your prayers. There's no question in my mind. This is a God thing. The Lord allowed me exactly about maybe a couple minutes, if you can understand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to get too crazy on you. But if you don't understand what I'm saying, allow me a few minutes here to communicate directly with him as if he was there. He knew I was wondering, how am I going to share the love of God? How am I going to bring it forward? How am I going to present it so that you can understand what I'm trying to say? The Lord said to me, Dan, very simple. Just be yourself. Share from your own personal experiences. Share the Word of God. In about seconds, maybe, my whole life flashed in front of me. And I could see exactly how God's love had been manifested and how he expressed it throughout my life. It started off about 41 years ago when I saw my wife riding on a bicycle. And I said, that's the woman I'm going to marry. Sounds crazy. But I knew God was working. God had prepared a certain individual who I have now been married to for 35 years. And we're also in our second honeymoon. And what has happened, we got married, we had children, the first child, Karina, was born. That is when another expression of God's love to us. That at that point, when that first child was born, I started thinking spiritually. I wasn't a Christian back then. I started thinking spiritually. I said, who am I and what am I? What do I have to offer this child? You know? I had all the cute answers in my mind. I even went to a little course with my wife about baptism, and people were just saying the most ridiculous things. But I said, I just wanted to bring up my child in the love of God. What does that mean? A year passed, and all of a sudden, there's a pastor in our life, a missionary pastor, who starts talking to my wife about this God, about this Jesus Christ. And there were my wife and my mother-in-law were in one room. I was in another room, and I could hear them talking. And I was saying, oh, boy, I better get in there to protect them. Because, you know, these missionary people, who knows, right, what's going to happen? And being from Quebec, this is all new. I was a Roman Catholic. And in my mind, this is how we were brought up almost, is that Catholics are the good guys, the Protestants are the bad guys. Go figure. So when a Protestant comes into your household, it's almost like you're betraying the family sort of thing. So Carol is there. She's talking to this Protestant missionary. And I said to my father-in-law, I better get in there and protect her. Who knows what's going to happen? So here I go inside it. And you know what he did? He just gave me the Word of God. Here's the Bible. Read. Okay, I'll read. John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And show me the verse in Isaiah about how I am a sinner. And if I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, all my sins are gone, washed away. Praise the Lord. I knew I was a sinner. No question in my mind. My wife too. So I said, so he asked me, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I said, yes. They were all excited. I didn't know why, but they were all excited. I verbally said something, and they responded by being excited, and they invited us to church on Thursday morning. I won't get into all the details what happened between that, but enough to say that when I got to church Thursday morning, Sunday morning, walking in, and for the first thing I saw was Christian people that had smiles on their face. to my mind, didn't make any sense. Smile on your face. But again, I could see how God was working in my life, how the by His love being manifested through these people. Their smile was God saying to me, you know, were just talking to me. We got into the church with all these nice Christian verses on the wall. We sat down in an aisle. I was sitting here. My wife is here. Obviously, I got to protect my wife, right? So she's right there on my right-hand side. So what happened is that here he is preaching the Word of God. The same thing he mentioned to me back then was saying the same thing. Then he said, as all good Christian pastors said back, or still say today, if anybody wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, walk down the aisle, shake my hand, and it'll be a personal testimony to everybody here that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So he started singing beautiful songs and hymns, and my wife's pushing. She wants to go down the aisle. And here I am, here, just not moving. I don't know what to expect. This is all new to me. What's going to happen to our lives? Pushed me enough that I had to move, and she walked down the aisle and she accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now what, Dan? Now what? What are you going to do? So, as all good pastors say, I'll sing it one more time, and if anybody wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, walk down the aisle, shake my hand, and it'll be a personal testimony to everybody. At that moment, that specific moment he said that, they were singing, I can remember it, it was 30 odd years ago. I can remember it to that day, they were singing, just as I am, and here I was, and God was talking to me, looking down at me and just simply saying, I could just hear him, Dan, this is your last chance. No more. This is your last chance. So walk down the aisle. Just walk down the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as our personal, as my personal Savior. Same day, my wife. It just changed my life completely. You know how it is? Do you remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior the first, the only time? I said the same thing the first service, the first time. No, I can't say the first time. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you remember that time? Your eyes were opened. You looked, you could see. What was the first thing you wanted to do? To go out there and share the word, to talk to the people. Talk to people about your Jesus Christ that you've just discovered. And we'll get back to that. So, we have three children now, Karina, Vanessa, and Sabrina. Karina's married, Vanessa married, Sabrina is seeing someone. I was told to say that. What happened is that my two daughters became pregnant at the same time. Incredible. So, 9 months later, we get a phone call, Karina phones, Dad, you got to come down. The baby's going to be born in a couple of hours or whatever. So we rush down to the hospital. We get to the hospital. Beautiful baby boy. 9 pounds, a big boy. Very big boy. Little did I know, though, that my daughter, Vanessa, was in the same hospital, a few doors down. Karina just gave birth. We're all excited. Emotions are all high. I go walk out. We walk out into the parking lot, and I see my other son-in-law, Brian. And there's something wrong. There's no expression there. And he always said to me, it's no good, Dad. And Vanessa wants to speak to you. So I go into the waiting room, and she's in one of the rooms, about a couple rooms beside my other daughter who just gave birth. We're in the room. And she's 9 months pregnant. She says, the baby's dead. 2 days later, she gave birth. It was a stillbirth, obviously. And I walk into the room. And to her, it was just instinct. She's just, here, Dad, here's your granddaughter. So here I am holding my granddaughter. Beautiful baby. What does that do to you? What love, God? Love. Death. It just tore me apart. But even through that, in retrospect, when you look back, at the moment it happens, you are, obviously, you're angry. It's just natural. You're fighting this whole thing. It just doesn't make sense, Lord. Birth, death, didn't make any sense. But I do know one thing. Because I know who my God is, I do know that one day I will be seeing my little Matea in paradise. Amen? People say amen. know, God's love has been manifested to me and to us in many ways. But have we become almost like immune to it, hardened? You know, when I walked in early this morning, I could see the tear down crew and the tear up crew. And I look at them, and I could see them smiles on their face. I see the Connect Center. I see them diligently working for God. This is all manifestation of God's love. And I see all the other people getting involved, the ushers, the sound people. Look at Ben. Ben's doing a wonderful job with his group, and we're so blessed. This is all manifestation of God's love. No, I'm preaching every Sunday, and I don't know how he preaches twice in a night. I mean, I'm already exhausted. This is just the second time I'm preaching. The man, I don't know how he's going to do it three times, so he needs a lot of prayer. But through all that, God has been showing me throughout my life what his love is all about. But let me tell you one thing. You know that the human love, the human heart by itself, without God involved, cannot feel the compassion of God. They can feel the compassion of God, but they cannot show it. Because the manifestation of God's love, the agape love, is given to us through the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, at that point, the Holy Spirit is given to us. At that point, the love of God can be manifested. Because it's a divine compassion, it's a divine love. The love of God being imparted is not experienced by the unsaved. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Where God says in Romans 5:5, though, God's love has been poured into our hearts and through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is not a natural thing. It counts the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this love of God reaches out to the whole world. John 3:16. For the God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Where God says in 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. In the New Testament, the cross becomes a place where God could meet man through the blood of Jesus Christ. Compassion which brought the Son of God from heaven, gushing forth and overflowing from a human heart. And because we accept him as our personal Savior and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we should be automatically manifesting the love of God. Just as Christ did when he came down here, he came down to save. Have we lost that vision? Have we lost that whole responsibility? When God came down, he came down for me, he came down for you. He came down for the people on the street. The love of God reaches out to the whole world. Does our love? Does my love? Does your love? Do I care? A desire for the salvation of others becomes the first thought of many after they are born again. And I just pray, and I encourage you to continue praying about this, that we do not lose that. Our primary purpose here is the unsaved. But you also know that the love of God abhors, detests, despises, hates, loathes the present world system. Word of God says in 1 John 2:15 and 16, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Sin desires to grab a hold on us. Sin wants to take us and have us to deviate from our whole purpose in life. It's great to have a business. It's great to go to school. It's great to have money. But when that becomes your primary purpose, then we miss the boat. I mean, I could see Satan in his crew just sitting there with a three-piece suit looking at me and saying, let's see how we can get Dan to deviate from what he should be doing. Don't forget, they know our weakest point. Satan knows where I'm weak, and he's going to always try to attack that. But I recognize that, so we got to pray. You got to pray about it. I got to pray about it. Because I know he knows where I am weak. Now, God hates that because it's a deviation from what's important here. Now, the world has an entity that is hostile toward God. James 4:4 in the Word of God says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or enemy with God? It's one or the other. It's the world or it's God. It's a spiritual struggle. If the Apostle Paul experienced the same spiritual troubles, we will go through the same things. But we have the victory if we want it, you see. We can have a classification that calls us, we're Christians. Victory is there. The Holy Spirit is there. It's up for us to reach for it. Reach for the victory through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is just waiting for us to surrender our lives to Him so that He could guide us if we allow Him. The Apostle Paul says it so well in Romans 12:1-2, Word of God. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, and acceptable to God, which is my spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why would Paul even put that in the Bible? Because we have an issue with it. The Word of God, you know, every time I look at it, I see more and more different things coming out at me. If it's in the Word of God, it's because we have issues with it and we tackle it. When we talk about transform, this is talking about a metamorphosis. It means a total change from the inside out. It is a passive imperative. Keep on being transformed. Is it going to happen overnight? No. Are you going to struggle with it? Yes. Am I going to struggle with it? Yes. Why? Because we're still sinners. But greater is He that is in you, in me, than he that is in the world. We have the power. All we got to do is grab onto it. We got to surrender our life to Jesus Christ and seek Him instead of seeking ourselves. And the question now becomes, have I allowed the Holy Spirit to manifest itself in my life? The Spirit is appointed to bring the whole will of God to realization in the believer's life, which experience could never be achieved when depending on human ability. The Word of God says in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Continually walking by the Spirit daily. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what are the desires of the flesh? Again, Word of God says in Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the, Galatians 5:22-24 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The ultimate sense of this fruit is simply the life of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is, this is the life of Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, these divine graces are not produced in every Christian's heart. They will be achieved only within those who are walking by the Spirit, by those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Now, what have I learned through all this? The questions are to ask, so how could you take all this and bring it down to so that it's applicable in our lives? I'll talk from what I know. I'll talk about my wife and I relationship. And we talk about a gap in love, unconditional love. Before I was a Christian, I used to go to my wife, almost take a mirror, put it in her face and say, what are you going to do for me? What could you do for me to make my life better? And vice versa. She'd do the same thing. People that say marriage is 50-50, wrong. Marriage is 100-100. And then the minute you realize that, it'll change completely your life. The minute that I started thinking, you know what I mean. The minute that I started looking at my wife and understanding what the word agape meant, unconditional love, the minute I started saying, what could I do for my wife? I turned the mirror toward me and said, Dan, what could I do for her? And not expect anything in return, that's when our marriage just grew and grew and grew because she would do the same thing. Simple example, and I share this with a lot of people. Simple example. If I get home one night thinking it's going to be a romantic evening, but the dishes are all dirty, hanging around the place, and the place is dirty, who am I fooling? But if I go and go through the house, and really, and this is really happening, this is real stuff. Just simply go home at night, and I see my wife had a rough day, and I see the dishes there, and I see stuff out dirty. You know, I'll clean them up, I'll do them. I mean, I'll take them and put them in the dishwasher. But you know what I'm saying? But I'll take that step to go ahead and do that without expecting anything in return from her. Well, imagine that both of you started doing that, doing things because you love her, doing things because of who she is. Manifesting God's love in your life to her and vice versa. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Again, Paul talking to us because, guys, we have issues with this. We do not know how to express agape, unconditional love at times with our wives. We think we do. Then you wonder why you're having these little arguments here and there. It's very simple. The love that God, it continues. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now what did Christ do for the church? Christ died for the church. Christ cared so much for you, cared so much for me, that he died for us. And Ephesians 5:33 in the Word of God says, she is to respect her husband. Ladies, you want to destroy a man? Disrespect him. We've seen so many situations where a lot of it is just about respect. You want to destroy your relationship with your man, if you're going out or if you're married, disrespect. The minute that Carol allowed me to make mistakes, I do make mistakes, and I admit it. The minute that she realized that it is not Carol that's going to change me, but the Holy Spirit, her praying to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through her, working through me, that's how a person changes. And I mean, vice versa, I said, we talked about respect. It works both ways. But I do know that she had allowed me early in our marriage, because, you know, I was young and all that. I was married at 20 years old, very mature. Yeah, sure. And she was taking care of finances and all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't even thinking about things. I just go and buy stuff and have a good time. But it wasn't Carol that was going to change me. It was the Word of God that was going to change me. So she started praying and allowed me to mature, to grow up, and make mistakes. But when I made those mistakes, she did not come up to me and say, "Ah, told you so." You know, that's not God's love. I mean, anybody could do that. She allowed me to make mistakes, and obviously, you start realizing you're making mistakes, fella. You smarten up and get things working properly. You want to destroy a man? Disrespect. Communication. Talking to your spouses, talking to your girlfriends, talking to your children. There is, in the Word of God, three verses that all stick in my mind. And whenever I'm counseling or talking to people or just working with young couples wanting to get married, it's in the Word of God. It's James 3, 5, and 8. And listen to it. It is so simple. We bypass it all the time. But it is so profound. James 3, 5, 8 says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Tongue, fire, take a match, you burn yourself, what happens? Obviously it hurts, but that area that you burn becomes very insensitive. You don't feel anymore. Have you experienced that in your relationships when you're having these arguments? The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. How does poison work? Slowly, doesn't it? Some poisons? It just starts and gets in. It's like a cancer. It just gets into your body. And when you have a relationship with your wife, with your girlfriend, it'll just eat and eat and eat, and you'll just destroy that person. And the Word of God says, I will never be able to control that. But I do know, I've learned one lesson. Keep my mouth shut a lot of times. I've learned that I better listen. I've learned to listen and be patient. I've learned to pray a lot about it. I know with the Holy Spirit, by praying, that the Holy Spirit will guide me and help me to teach me things, to teach me how to use my tongue for His glory. The tongue is a deadly poison. So, what is love? As you can see at the beginning, these individuals had such a hard time explaining what love was. And then the title, The Bourne Identity. You guys must be wondering, what is he talking about? Isn't it the B-O-U-R-N-E identity? No, it is the born identity. Because we are born again, because we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, because the Holy Spirit indwells in us, we are able to manifest God's love if we want to. You see? We have a choice to make. We have to start realizing, what was the last time you went out and talked to somebody in the Connect Center and said, "Yeah, praise the Lord"? The person there is manifesting God's love. Let's smile back. Let's work together as a team. Let's manifest the love of God. Why? Because this is how they're going to know us, by the love. The outside world knows us by the love that we have for one another. Amen? That's what it's all about. So as we go into a time of communion, I would request that we pray about this. We just open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to use us, to surrender our hearts to Him and just ask Him to show us what He'd have us to do. Even today, what could we do in our relationships, in talking together? How could we show the love of God? I can still remember so many times, even when you're arguing with somebody, and they would hit you with that. You're supposed to be a Christian. This is the way you're dealing with the situation. I'm sure we all have come across this. Now, just take a few minutes to pray, and as I pray, I'll ask the worship team to come down. The people who are serving communion to come down also. And in the back, we'll have Oliver and Rachel Brayshaw in the back. Are they here? There they are. They're going to be coming down to pray in the back. And this is one thing I'd like to share also about prayer. I do not know why. Why we do not, when it's open in the back, why don't we get up and pray with the individuals in the back? That's telling, if we're not doing that, There's something wrong here. We have issues. I have issues. And the best thing we can do about those issues is pray with somebody else so they can pray for you. Prayer has done so much in my life. And I just encourage you all that if you have an opportunity to pray with somebody, please take that. Please take the time. Dear God, I just thank you for this time we can spend together for this short message on the manifestation of your love. I just pray, Lord, that you would touch each individual here. Thank you for them, dear Lord. Thank you for what you're going to be doing in their lives. I just pray that your love is manifested even today in the small things, in communication. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.